This morning's numbers on jobs, retail sales, and inflation have been brought to you by high gas prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Putnam Investments, focused on finding opportunities one stock at a time on the web at putnam.com/large-cap-equity.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out what this morning's economic data says about consumers and inflation. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow's down 76 points at 12,553. The NASDAQ down about 7-tenths of a percent, and the S&P 500 down 6-tenths of 1%. Executives from the five biggest oil companies are testifying at a Senate hearing right now on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers have questions about whether those companies deserve tax breaks at a time of record oil profits. Now let's get to some of the economic indicators that came in this morning. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She joins us live each Thursday, and she's with us now from Washington. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with retail sales. They were up for a 10th straight month. Do you think it's safe to say consumers are in a spending mood again, or is there something else going on here?
Well, we saw the sales. We've got a lot of pent-up demand in auto sales, and those are still strong. But really, much of this increase is still being driven by people having to pay higher prices at the pump. And once you strip out things like auto sales and oil prices, you see a much more tepid U.S. consumer. In fact, people are making trade-offs, cutting back, going out to restaurants and bars, cutting back even general merchandise spending. Many retailers had to discount aggressively going into the Easter weekend, which is typically a time when they don't have to discount as much. So this really shows that the U.S. consumer is certainly facing some headwinds and having to make tough choices with their budgets right now.
And what about the job picture? We got the weekly jobless claims number this morning, the number of the new people that are heading to the unemployment office, and it's relatively high yet again. Is that gas prices too?
There is a link between gas prices and that. Big box retailers had a very bad month, and there's no doubt that as they're having to do more discounting, they're not hiring up as much for the spring and summer as they had hoped to, and that's going to be working against us as we go into the spring and summer. We can only hope that the recent fall in oil prices that we've seen in markets stays around a little bit longer and can help alleviate some of this pain on margins, because once large and small firms alike feel the pinch of higher oil prices and can't pass it along in their margins and their prices, they've got to cut somewhere else. And unfortunately, that's been jobs.
And finally, the producer price index, which gives us an early look at inflation, came out this morning. What does that index tell us?
Well, we saw big increases again in oil prices and in food prices, and this is really hard on consumers. Things like egg prices are up more than 50%. Now, the eggs are a big, vital part of protein in our diet, and that's something the consumer feels directly when they go to the grocery store and they're having to make trade-offs in the composition of what they buy, not buying as many fresh fruits and vegetables where the price increases have been the most dramatic, and particularly when you see it in something like eggs. That's a very difficult issue for U.S. consumers to grapple with.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Greenland today for a meeting of the Arctic Council. She's the first U.S. Secretary of State to attend an Arctic Council meeting, and she's going because climate change is having a big environmental and economic effect in the Arctic region. For more on this, let's bring in our sustainability reporter, Scott Tong. He's with us from Washington. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
So what are we expecting from this meeting in Greenland?
Well, the meeting is a group called the Arctic Council, and they expect an agreement to come out on search and rescue operations for potential disasters in the Arctic waters. We've already had one cruise ship that ran aground in the Arctic recently, and there are going to be other ships there. With less ice, more commercial ships will sail through there as well, from Russia, Asia, North America, Scandinavia. And of course, we're going to be seeing more high-tech ships drilling for oil and gas in the Arctic. The last month brought two big oil discoveries, one off of Greenland, one in the Arctic Circle. So also on the agenda at this meeting is how do you prepare for an oil spill in these treacherous waters?
And it sounds like with this oil discovery and also with these new shipping lanes, climate change may have produced the next big thing economically.
Well, no one is saying it's an unvarnished good. The melting polar ice caps, they raise sea levels.
Right.
They impact 4 million indigenous people who live in the areas. Irreversible effect on marine ecosystems. The stakeholders say the challenge is to balance those concerns with the economic opportunity. Jobs, tax revenues, oil and gas royalties. I spoke to Charles Doran at Johns Hopkins, and he says it's sort of like the gold rush of the 1800s.
We had a very violent development of the West, which, of course, is legendary. On the Canadian side, it was far more orderly because the government had established actual police work in advance of some of this development.
So the lesson, Jeremy, is to get the rules right before the actual game.
And what's the potential for conflict between countries here?
Well, a big one is country boundaries. Right now, it's generally accepted that each country has a 200-mile economic zone where their waters belong to them. Hmm. Beyond that could be the question. Already the Russians have gone to the Arctic and planted a Russian flag. Well, actually, they sank a titanium Russian flag in the seabed. You know, great publicity stunt. The experts say the notion of conflict for now could be overstated. The key is to manage it. And the first thing is to do surveillance and to know who's sniffing around up there.
Marketplace's Scott Tong with us from Washington. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
And finally to Saginaw, Michigan, where 92 years ago, a lumber baron named Wellington Burt died, but he didn't want to leave his fortune to his family. In fact, he stipulated in his will that almost all of his cash could not go to his living descendants. Well, now all of those living descendants have died, and his $100 million fortune will be divvied up among family members who never knew him. A local historian says he still can't figure out what got old Wellington so ticked off in the first place. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Zyrtec, Zyprexa, Zyvox. Drug names, of course, difficult to pronounce, difficult to understand, and in desperate need of a vowel.
It's getting to be a little bit like the Slovak language. Difficult to pronounce, difficult to deal with.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the big business of naming drugs. We'll have the day's headlines as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.